Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Really glad you tuned in today. You're in for a huge treat. Happy Thursday. So here's my question for you as this first hour unfolds. Are you ready? When God delays a dream in your life, what is your first reaction? Is it joy and peace, or is it angst and resentment? Is it striving and surviving, or is it thriving and abiding? I want to know. How do you handle God's delays? And do you even dare to dream? Are you kind of in sort of a just get through it kind of mindset? Well, we talk about this a lot on this show. I just have a lot of passion about this. And if you listen often enough, you know I go through about 10 books a week to interview 10 authors a week, right? The book that we're talking about today is one of the best that I've read in a really long time. I love this book, and I want you to know we've got two copies to give away. So if you want to get into the conversation, you'll have to jump in right away. Title of the book is Broken Escalators. Funny and frightful lessons about moth eating and moving to the next level, all about being prepared for promotion. I was belly laughing in my office one moment and taking notes the next moment. It's authored by Pastor Peter Hosse, and his beautiful wife Carolyn are in studio today. I just love these two. I love what they're doing, and I will confess I'm biased. My son goes to this church, loves this book, and loves these two, and I'm seeing fruit in his life from the fruit of their ministry, so I'll forever be grateful. Second hour, by the way, we're going to talk about how to recover rest, how to reclaim rest. To me, I think it's one of the most underrated disciplines in the Christian life. So how do you find refreshment if your soul is weary? We're going to talk about that second hour. Now, I can't wait for you to meet Pete and Carolyn. Maybe you know them already. Can't wait to get this conversation started. I have a couple of quick announcements. First, you hear this every day, and you're going to hear it every day throughout this month. It's so important. We at Faith Radio are partnering with Angel Tree again this year. So thrilled to do that. Many, many thousands of children have parents in prison this year. And for $73, that will help reach 5 children with a Christmas gift, message of the gospel, and a message of love from their incarcerated parent. Will you join with us to see 1,200 kids sponsored this year? I think we've got 300 or 400 sponsored thus far. We've got information on our website, myfaithradio.com. But I'm telling you, the stories we hear are life-changing. And these kids who've received gifts and the message of the gospel, so many of them grow up and then turn around and invest in other families who have parents in prison. Listen to the story today.
Even at 10 years old, Adam Stevenson knew his destiny. Every adult male in his family had been in and out of prison. But that Christmas, more than 20 years ago, Angel Tree helps give Adam a glimpse of hope.
Christmas Eve, there was a knock at the door, and there are people there with their arms full of gifts, and they're from my father who was incarcerated. At that time, you feel great. You realize that your father was still thinking about you. Eventually, my father finishes his sentence, but he continues this journey of going in and out of prison over and over again. And every time, my heart is broken. Somewhere around 2012, my father is arrested again. I'm trying to keep it together. Tears are filling my eyes. I'm having the same emotional break that I've always had. And God speaks to me, and he reminds me of my Angel Tree experience. He lets me know that I could have been a statistic. When every male in your family has done significant time in prison, what he showed me on that day is that he had spared me. I, who was once an Angel Tree child, could now be a blessing to someone else. And so I instantly signed up to be an Angel Tree church coordinator. I'm excited. And so every day I'm coming home, getting on my wife's nerves, wondering if anybody would ever call me. Well, at this time, I worked for Enterprise. So I go pick up a customer from Carson, California. As I pulled up, this lady comes out. She gets in the car, and she begins to tell me how she gives out toys to disadvantaged children every year and how she uses the truck in order to load it up and deliver gifts. I began to tell her my story about how I recently signed up for this thing called Angel Tree and how I'm so excited and I'm waiting to become involved, but they tell me that there's a field director and I'm waiting on a call from her. There's silence in the vehicle. The lady, her mouth drops open and she tells me, "I'm the lady." We instantly start to laugh and she begins to tell me how her office is full of toys and she has no volunteers. I took the next 3 days off of work, wrapped toys, called parents to set up dates and distribution days. And so for the last few years, I have worked with Angel Tree, being a blessing to kids. Today, I look back at that broken little boy sitting on the steps in the project, wondering if life would ever get any better. Here I am, 23 years later, married to a beautiful, supportive wife, have 3 great daughters. And as I preach the gospel on Sunday mornings, I get the joy of looking back and seeing my father play the bass guitar in the church that I pastor. And this is the thing. It all started with a gift. Somewhere there's a little girl or little boy who is broken because their father or their mother is sitting in prison. And you never know what this one gift will do for them.
Somewhere, maybe in your own community, another 10-year-old needs to know that life gets better.
It all started with a gift. Isn't that a great story? We would love for you to involve yourself with Angel Tree as we are this year. Information on our website at myfaithradio.com. One other quick announcement is it's the great giveaway time on Live the Promise. That just means I'm sending you on a mini mission trip. Get outside your comfort zone. Engage in a random act of kindness. Do what you can. Call the show on December 17th, and we will hear your stories of love and mobilization. Always a powerful show. More information about that on our show page at myfaithradio.com. Okay, we're talking today about, instead of focusing on promotion, focus on being promotable. I have author and pastor Pete Haas in studio with his beautiful wife, Carolyn. And let me tell you about them. We'll get this conversation started. Peter Haas is founding pastor of Substance Church in Minneapolis, serves on the lead team of the Association of Related Churches. His books include Pharisectomy and the one we're unpacking today, Broken Escalators. He and his beautiful wife, I keep inserting beautiful.
beautiful.
No offense, but I think you married up a little. Just saying.
No debate there.
Yeah, I love it. Anyway, he and his wife, Carolyn, have 3 children. You can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Welcome, both of you, to the studio.
Thank you so much.
So good to have you. Well, we love to start out all conversations talking scripture. And I love, love, love the passage you chose, Psalm 62:1. Truly my soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. That's actually one of my go-tos as well. Mm. Start with you, Pete. Love for you to talk about that passage.
Well, you know, in some ways, it's my theme verse. I've spent so many years trying to fill my life with things that just don't fit. And it's like the old saying, talking about the God-shaped hole in every one of our hearts. You try to fill it with your career. You try to fill it with a relationship with the opposite sex. There's a million ways you can try to fill that. But at the end of the day, there's only one person that can truly satisfy our souls. And that's God. Happiness is not a circumstance. It's a position of heart. And really, it's a position of surrender to the only one who can truly fill our lives. And I've lived off of that verse for years because it's something that I need to be reminded of on a regular basis because all the false pursuits of happiness are so alluring. And every year I have to stop myself and remind myself, hey, listen, a little bit more of that is not going to really bring about the true fulfillment that God has for me.
Hmm. And isn't it interesting when you think about it? My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him. We trust him with our eternity, but we have all kinds of soul unrest
totally.
About lesser things. And it's like, well, okay, the eternity thing, right. But,
right.
You know, the cookie exchange, I'm totally stressed out. I mean, you think about that, how we get to that place. Why the disconnect?
Well, we live in a world that constantly sends us the opposite message. We live in a world that constantly tells us that material possessions will change it, that a new job, a new income, a new spouse, a new house, maybe if I lived underneath a palm tree, then suddenly I'd be happy. You know what I'm saying? Like there's a million false pursuits. And the truth is, and that's what I dove into in the book, is the research confirms what the scripture says is those things just don't bring lasting fulfillment. They're temporary. And then next thing you know, we're we're right back to where we were before.
Mm-hmm. And we exhaust ourselves. We may compromise. We strive and we wear ourselves out. Carolyn, what do you want to say about that passage?
You know what? Peter and I were just sharing this morning. We were doing a teaching with our staff. And actually, we talked about this scripture today. And we actually, in context of the holidays, and just said, and we actually talked about how do you thrive with your family versus just survive your family over the holidays. And we actually talked about Psalm 62:1 and just how it's so easy to even have unrealistic expectations of our Christmas and Thanksgiving celebrations and what do we expect out of our family and those conversations and time spent and ultimately family, relatives, holidays, that's not what's supposed to fulfill us, but God alone. And so I think of, I love the scripture in Jonah that says the sorrows of those will increase who run after, or is that Psalms?
Will
run
Psalm after 16, other, 4,
sorry,
right.
Psalm 16:4. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. And so, again, it's that running to the Lord and saying, he's the only one that's going to make me happy and give me peace.
So good, Carolyn. And you think about how often, you know, Jesus is a source. Everything else is a gift to be stewarded, but somehow we make it a source and then things just tip over. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can reset every day and remind ourselves that, well, this book, Broken Escalators, I have a million questions for you. You've got to come back and again, because I have so many questions.
Sure.
But before we get to the title, you said that you wouldn't even be, Substance Church wouldn't even exist if it weren't for Carolyn's, I think, great-grandparents?
Yes.
Right.
Tell me that story.
The great misfortune. Actually, everything awesome in my life resulted from a great misfortune.
Okay.
And it really came down to, so my wife's great-grandparents had tickets for the Titanic.
Hmm.
And they showed up late.
They were 5 minutes late. And they literally watched the boat, like, sailing away.
Oh, my goodness.
And so at that time, I mean, this is pre-CNN and internet.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, so this is like, what do you do? And it's not like they had a lot of money. And so they had to buy more tickets. And they literally got on the next boat and did not know that the Titanic had sunk until they picked up survivors from the next boat.
Whoa.
So talk about intense.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of joke about the fighting, you know what I mean? Because they're newlyweds. I mean, they're newlyweds, and they're on their way to America to start a new life. And
if they're spicy like my wife and I, they probably were like on the dock saying, if you would have pulled the wagon to the right instead of the left and asked for directions.
Yeah.
And now I'm stuck on this dock. And every time I think of the story, I always imagine, you know, Carolyn's great-grandmother, like, weeping on the dock. Like, that was our dream ship. That was, because going to America, that was the dream. And now, not only did they miss the boat, but now it's going to cost them. I mean, this is going to be expensive. What do they do with all of their stuff? Now, when is the next boat? I mean, these types of delays can be frustrating because I guarantee you she imagined herself leaning into the bow of the ship, just wind wafting through her hair, Celine Dion playing, because that's what people did on the Titanic. That's a historical fact. We know that. We know that. And she's thinking, now I'm stuck on this silly dock. Now what? And now it's so easy to look back and say, wow, I'm so glad they missed that, because not only would my wife not exist, not only would my church not exist, I mean, everything good in my life wouldn't exist. But it really goes to show that your current delay could very well be your current deliverance, or your current devastation could very well be your current deliverance. But unfortunately, we don't always see what God sees or know what he knows. And as a result, a lot of times we're weeping on a dock, not realizing that our dreams were Titanic dreams. They were a cold, frozen death for us if we would have gotten what we wanted. Which is why I oftentimes tell people, sometimes the greatest evidence of God's love is unanswered prayer.
Hmm.
We like to throw that in God's face like, God, why aren't you faithful? God's up in heaven saying, oh, my word, if you could understand, this is the Titanic you're begging for. Would you stop it? I love you, and I've got a plan that will make you even 10 times more happy. But sometimes I don't know if we're very good at delays. I don't know if we're really good.
Really, in this instant reaction atmosphere and instant gratification, you know, whenever I stress my husband out, he rubs his temples, and I wonder how often I make God.
Never.
Just this one time, you got to trust me here. Okay, talking to Pete and Carolyn Haas. Title of the book is Broken Escalators. I want to give them as much time as possible for obvious reasons now that you've heard them for 2 minutes here. But I want to open the phone lines if you want to get a copy. This would be a motivator for you to wrap up this year, dream about next year. I want you to have a copy of this book. 877-933-2484. You got to get on the air, ask a question, chime in, 877-93-FAITH, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com.
it down to Tennessee.
Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great time. Great conversation with Pastor Pete Haas and his beautiful wife, Carolyn. He's got a book titled Broken Escalators, Funny and Frightful Lessons about Moth-Eating and Moving to the Next Level. Really about promotion, about God's dreams in your heart and the whole process, the internal process that we go through, how we still get ahead of God. We don't always trust him. Before the break, you told the amazing story, really, of Carolyn's great-grandparents who missed the Titanic by 5 minutes, and they were devastated. And what did you say? Sometimes our
current delay is our current deliverance.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Tell me how you came up with the title Broken Escalators. Of all the things, I got to know.
Well, you know what's funny is I was at the airport, and the escalator broke, and I had to walk up.
I had to walk up
the escalator. Yeah, and
muscles.
I remember when I saw this, it like stunned me. I'm like, what do I do? How do I get from this level to that level? And, you know, there was this point where I'm like, you know, broken escalators are still stairs.
You know, like,
but I had to use my muscles. And I'm like, no, I am entitled. And I don't want to have to use my muscles.
Yeah.
And I think in some ways it was like the perfect metaphor for how I was feeling in my life. It just felt like sometimes it feels like promotion comes slow to us. It's sometimes
fast to everybody else, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It feels like, you know, everybody's maybe, I talk to couples in our church all the time where they want to get pregnant, but they can't. And then Fertile Myrtle just, you know, cranks
out
12 babies.
Like a Pez dispenser. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's, you know, you want the job so bad, and then your dorky friend just gets the promotion of a lifetime. And sometimes it just feels like everyone else's, path to promotion and happiness seems to be going faster while we're stuck on a broken escalator. And so it's really kind of a metaphor for happiness, a metaphor for us getting to our dreams. And I in some ways it was a fitting one because everybody feels like their escalator is either slow or broken when in reality they're missing the point as to how to get to happiness. There's actually, there's all sorts of stories in scripture where God intentionally slowed our dreams in order to work on us. And a lot of times, a lot of promotions actually destroy us. And so in some ways, the book is really all about how and why God intentionally breaks our escalators in order to get us to focus on the real thing that's holding us back from promotion, and that's our own character, our own intimacy with him.
You know, I often say that, you know, at times you see gifting too celebrated in the church at the expense of character. And I would say it's not enough just to get there. God wants you to be able to fight there, win there, so you can move on from there. And gifting isn't allowed for that. Character does.
Right.
And, boy, that's why I just love that you're talking about this. Well, here's a quote from Broken Escalators. Quite frankly, some of us have a ridiculous theology of pain and promotion. We still hold fast to devastating misconceptions that happiness is circumstantial, that people can prevent God's promotion, and the worst misconception of all is that we know what makes us happy. I want to take these one by one. Happiness is circumstantial.
Well, I found all this interesting research. I'm kind of nerdy. So like one of the things that I always try to do in my preaching is I always try to have humor and even secular research to confirm God's word.
I love it.
I love to mix those three. And I found all of this interesting research on happiness that only 10% of our happiness is based on circumstantial things. So when you compare people with lots of money to people with very little money, there's only about a 10% variance. Or if you take married people versus single people, or if you take people who live in tropical places versus people who live in frozen places.
I don't believe that. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know, right? Right. There's people in circumstantial things really only affect our happiness about 10%. And yet, that's all we pray for. Like when I hear people's prayer requests, 90% of our prayers are what I like to call circumstantial prayers. God, I pray that my finances would increase. Lord, I pray that I'd be able to get this house, or I'd get that job, or get that promotion, or get that spouse, or, you know, like it's a circumstantial prayer. And yet, we're devoting the majority of our prayer lives to things that don't even affect our happiness. I think that I noticed that in my life when I read that study. I thought, oh my gosh, my entire prayer life is hijacked by things that aren't even actually changing my happiness. And I realized it's because happiness is not a circumstantial setup. It's not a it's not an income level. It's not a marital status or a geographical location. It's a position of heart. It's happiness is not a circumstance. It's a person. It's Jesus Christ. And it's learning how to surrender to his perfect joy, his perfect peace. And that's half the reason why I believe a lot of our escalators are broken. It's because we falsely think that a job or a relationship or some sort of circumstantial thing, a move to a new city, is actually going to solve our problem. When in reality, no, that's actually just delaying the inevitable. And we're going to have to learn the lesson all over again. In other words, our escalator is eventually still going to feel broken. And so we either learn the lesson now and learn who happiness is, not what happiness is, but who happiness is now, so that God can actually entrust us with some of those greater dreams.
And we can keep them in perspective then, because we were talking during the break, Carolyn, about how we mix up the source and the gift. And if Jesus remains the source, we can go to a next place without it going to our head or without us getting territorial about it because we're so afraid, right? Yeah. Oh, I'd love for you just maybe to speak to that woman who feels like she's, as a woman in the church, wanting to minister, feeling like everybody else is sailing ahead of her, but she's in that delayed place, like God lost her address. What advice and encouragement would you have for her today?
That's a great question. I love, you know, in chapter one, Peter talks about God as your father. And for me, that's a core message of just, do I really trust God as my father, that he sees, that he knows, that he's generous, that he loves me, and that he will care for me. Mm-hmm. And so in my own journey, I don't even tell Peter what I need. I don't even tell him our budget and like our finances and what we need. I just go right to God. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like my own little secret connection with God.
Hear that, wives?
I do. And I don't even pressure him with it. I just go right to God and say, mm-hmm. God, this is where we're at right now. And I'm trusting you with this need. And so for me, it's just how much do you trust God? And so it's that really, do you view him as generous? Do you view him as a father who, you know, Matthew 6 says that he, that pagans run after their needs and your heavenly father knows you need them. I love that tension because God isn't saying it's wrong to have needs and God isn't shaming us for having needs. Like, what's wrong with you? You have a need. It's saying, no, it's pagans, which I would run after their needs. They strive. But your heavenly father knows what you need. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. And so to me, that just adjusted my own theology of, okay, no, I just have to run to the father with my needs and, you know, and seek him. And then he's got me taken care of.
Just beautiful. I say this on the show quite often. I feel like, man, if we can get a hold of this, we'll live from such a different place. But that any gift from his hand pales in comparison to the treasure of knowing his heart. And I think if we see that he is happiness, he is the greatest gift, he is the source, and those peripheral things, they'll find their place because he does care where we live and where we work, but they're not the means to an end. That's what you're saying, right?
Well, exactly. In fact, I would even argue that until we learn God's place in our lives, he's going to intentionally delay it because he does not want to contribute to our own idolatry. It's just delaying the inevitable.
And that's tweetable right there. All right. Talking to Pastor Pete Haas and his wife, Carolyn, about the book, Broken Escalators, Funny and Frightful Lessons About Moth Eating. I got to ask you about that one when we come back and moving to the next level. Don't go away. More with them when we come back.
Some parts of the world that say, Feliz Navidad. Wherever you are, Merry Christmas. It could be oh so cold, 2 feet of snow, streets all covered with white. You and me, Rockefeller tree, magic in the air tonight.
Thanks for tuning in. If you like that song, that's Danny Gokey. We had him on a week before last, talked about his Christmas album. What a gracious, humble, wonderful soul. If you want to hear that whole program, it's up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Having a really great time with Peter and Carolyn Haas, pastors of Substance Church and author of the book Broken Escalators, talking about the delay of our dreams when we have dreams in our heart. You made such a good point, Pete, about there's times we feel like God isn't answering our prayers, but he's actually, you know, answering the dream for our lives because the things we're asking for aren't even good for us. Mm-hmm. I'd love for you to speak to this. We were talking during the break about the dream of Substance, the church, and how some people live, as Christians, I believe this, and it's one of the things that gets me up every morning, is they live in self-preservation. They don't even dare to dream, so they don't deal with some of the things that those of you who step out and dream, you know, dare to do. But when you step out and dream, then suddenly I think you excite the jealousies of others. The sin of comparison is a constant temptation. Mm-hmm. Overnight success seems to appear before your very eyes. And mm-hmm. my passion is that every Christ follower would dream big dreams and take audacious faith steps and not live in constant reaction to their fears and insecurities. And that's what I love so much about your book, is deal with the internal process and God will do great things through you. But let's make it personal about your walking out. It is no small thing to plant a church. So take it from there.
Well, it's true. I always tell everybody that every overnight success was actually 10, 20 years mm-hmm. in the making. We just didn't see the backstory.
That's right.
We just didn't even know they existed until they had their big moment. And I think a lot of times we have some distorted sense of timing in our lives. I think about even Moses. Moses, everything that we know about Moses, that was actually awesome, all of his great feats didn't even start until he was 80 years old.
Wow.
Think about that. Hmm. Now, what if all the greatest exploits that God had for us weren't even to start until we're 80? That messes with some people. But, you know, we don't even think about how long Moses had to wait. We don't even think about that. And unfortunately, we don't think about that when we see other people's success. We don't see who actually paid the price to make that happen. And even more than that, I think when everybody actually hears what it actually took. So, for example, even right now, Substance, we're moving in. We just started our downtown Minneapolis campus, and we're in the middle of also moving into a huge 100,000 square foot building on the north side of the Twin Cities. And a lot of pastors, they're calling me up like, wow, it just seems like God is just blessing everything. But they don't realize that we had 8 different buildings fall through. Hmm. They didn't realize all of the legal problems. They didn't realize that we had $5 million in the bank and couldn't spend our money to save our lives for several years because we couldn't even get a single city to sell land to us. They didn't hear about all of the, how painful it was to even fundraise and all that kind of stuff. They didn't hear about all the blood, sweat, and tears that brought us this far. They just see the success and say, man, I'd like a little bit of that. And I realize that I do that with people all the time as well. And it's really an issue of just being happy with the timeline that God has. If God mm-hmm. wants to take me until I'm 80 years old before he does something awesome, sometimes my even whole standard, my own definition of success needs to be recalibrated. Mm. And that's kind of the idea even in the book, is I wanted to say, hey, these things won't even make me happy anyway. So Substance is getting a new building. It's not going to make my life simpler or happier, which is why, you know, myth number 3 in my book is oversimplification myth. It's this idea that a new house or a new spouse or a new income is somehow going to make my life happier or simpler. No, it's going to make your life more complex. When we imagine a dream house, we don't imagine the extra square footage to clean.
Mm-hmm.
We idealize every one of our dreams, just only the good things. And unfortunately, we've got to take a step back and just take in the bigger picture that also new levels, new devils, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. And it's this, you know, opportunity is not going to just change your character. It's actually going to reveal your character. People come to me all the time. If only I had a spouse, then I would know. Well, finding a spouse is going to actually challenge your character more. It's going to expose your character more. It's kind of like I call it the pot of gold myth in my book. It's myth number 6. It's this idea that maybe a new income level will change my life and increase my opportunities. Well, according to the research, people who win the lottery have higher increases of divorce, anger, depression, suicide. Every negative thing you could ever imagine is actually higher for lottery winners. Actually, winning the lottery could be the worst thing ever for you
mm-hmm.
in some ways. And yet, that's unfortunately what we're praying for all the time. We have to take a step back, and coming back to the original idea is my soul finds rest in God alone.
Mm. You know, I'm sure you get this. I get this too from women who want to do some of the things that I do, and they'll say advice, and I'm like, you're going to get a lot of chances to die. Take everyone. That's all I can say.
Exactly,
because, you know,
it.
You die. I mean, I think I read a story in your book about doing a Jericho march around a certain
yep.
land that you didn't know was contaminated. And that
That's
was
right.
a no, but it was really God's ultimate yes
it's
for
It's another
you.
Titanic dream.
Yeah.
And
yes.
when you I also mentioned when you compare, you despair. We always have these people that we're comparing ourselves to, but we're never really, again, paying attention to their backstory. And sometimes we're choosing the wrong people to compare to. And that's the fundamental problem. You can't even begin to compare because right. God has a timeline that is absolutely unique. And if we had some of those timelines, that the ones that we want, I don't even think we'd be happy anyway.
No, we wouldn't. And it's like to put your feet in somebody else's shoes. You don't have the grace to carry that.
That's
You've
right.
got the grace for yours. How about you, Carolyn, being, you know, this best friend and support and wife of this dear man, as you're walking out this journey? I think for women and pastors' wives, I think you guys are unsung heroes on so many levels. I think you pastors are too, just because you absorb so much. But as women, I think we feel things so deeply.
Yeah.
You have to somehow cultivate an unoffendable heart, but
yeah.
also a dare to dream and not,
yes.
you can't play to not win. You've got to play to win. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So speak to your process a little bit.
That's a great question. For me, the journey has just been really staying intimate with God.
Hmm.
And just my heart has been broken and hurt. And when people leave the church and
sure.
you know, or people move and you lose friends and they come and go, and I've ridden the roller coaster of, if we could get that building, it would mean this, or if we could get that magical staff member, it would do this. And I feel like what God has done in my heart the last 4 years, even, you know, Substance is 11 years old. We've been in ministry for 20 years, because we pastored in Wisconsin. So it's been a long journey of ministry for us, but even in the last 4 years, God has just broken us in such a beautiful way.
Mm.
It's never fun. It's very painful. But it's just been a beautiful brokenness of, I felt like just personally, I hit even my lid of my capabilities. And, you know, I'm pretty organized. I'm a good leader. And then it was like, wow, I can't pastor everybody. I can't go out to coffee. I can't know everybody's name. I'm going to disappoint people. And I got so overwhelmed, and it was the best thing for me because I just broke. And I remember I just cried for months, actually, and saw a counselor. It was wonderful, you know, and then just hit. Like, I've always read my Bible. I've always spent time with God. But it was like a whole nother level of depth of, God, I can't make it without you. And you must speak to me.
Mm.
And you must speak to me about my season and my context, because I was getting caught up in insecurities and comparing myself with other pastor friends and just almost overanalyzing my own leadership weaknesses. And if I wouldn't have done that, or I made that mistake, I wouldn't have hurt this person. And just all of those distractions
yeah.
where, so it's just been a beautiful time of being with the Lord. And so if there's anything I tell women, is just, it's that intimacy with God, intimacy with God. It's, you got to be in your
record.
Bible.
Yep.
You got to get in your Bible. He's got to speak to you. And he's the one. In fact, I just read this morning in 1 Peter 2, it was like, crave the milk of the word and like cry out for it. And I just challenged our staff today. I said, we've got to be crying out to be nourished by God. And that's the only way I survive. And then I see my role as wife. I love being his best friend. I love cheering him on. And encouragement is so critical, because all we do see as leaders are the holes. All we see are the mistakes, you know, and so
I quit every Monday and she talks me back into it.
But it's, you know, it's stir yourself. I mean, there's a couple facets. It's stir yourself up in your most holy faith. Like,
Amen.
We are responsible to stir ourselves up.
Yeah.
But then you look at David and Jonathan, and Jonathan helped David find strength in God. So I look at it in several capacities. I stir myself up and I get in God's word. But then I have tons of friends that I text and I, you know, communicate on the phone and whatever, and just say, pray for me. I need encouragement. And I get those friends in my life that are speaking life and encouragement to me. And I turn around and I'm always speaking life and encouragement and cheering Peter on. And yeah.
And that's the kingdom dynamic right there. Personal intimacy and then, you know, blending our lives together where we're holding each other up. But you brought up an interesting point. You know, when you're going to a new level, I always compare it to fitness because that was my background and it makes sense to me. But when you're in fitness and you're going to go lift or squat too many pounds, you know, you're not ready for it. You're actually going to do more harm than good. But if you adjust little steps at a time, you develop, your muscles break down, but you develop a new threshold and you get a new normal.
Yep.
I think in ministry and in maturity, it's so similar that speaking of dreams, that the weights of opposition, of being misunderstood, of the temptation to compare, those, I mean, God adjusts our yoke, I think, enough to strengthen us. And as we die and we break down and we find a new level of dependence, suddenly our new threshold is, and we can carry some more. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But it isn't an overnight process.
Well, that's why I always say, don't pray for promotion. Pray for promotability.
Hmm. Say more about that.
Because that's capacity. That's,
very good.
A lot of times, God already wants to bring blessings into our lives. Matthew 6:8 says he knows what he needs before we ask, what we need before we ask. And he will provide all that we need according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, Philippians 4. And so if you think about it, God already wants to bring blessings. He says over and over and over in his word that he wants to give us some overwhelming success that will reveal him to the world. And so the real issue is are we ready for the blessings that God wants to bring to us? For years, what was interesting about even the building for Substance that we're moving into, for years, I was frustrated that God wasn't bringing this dream along smoother and quicker. And it seemed like it was happening slower for us than any church I'd ever heard of. And people would leave. Every time a property would fall through, people would leave our church. Pastor, Pastor, you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And it was, but you know what was great about it is the Lord was also, as I look back, I keep thinking, I cannot even believe we would have thought we were ready for that.
Wow.
Because looking back, we weren't. The staff wasn't ready. I wasn't ready for the new attention that would be drawn. I realized that God is more, yes, God wants to build our dreams, but he has a greater priority.
Yeah.
He wants to build us.
Amen.
And so now I don't pray for promotion. I pray for promotability. I don't pray for growth. I pray for growability. Don't if you're a single person, don't pray for a spouse. Pray for character worthy of a spouse. If you're wanting a higher level of income or promotion, don't just pray for that promotion. Again, pray for the character and the intimacy with God that will make you capable of handling the promotion. Because for a lot of us, if God just answered our prayers, gave us more money, we just spend more money foolishly.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
not what we need. In the end, we need the character and the integrity that's actually... Does your soul have the capacity, the integrity necessary to handle the weight of your dreams? That's it.
You've been faithful with a little, he'll entrust more to you. Dr. Mark Rutland's been on the show a handful of times before, and he says, you know what happens when God blesses your work, don't you? It's more work. You get more work. And
right.
It really does take a certain character and a focus and even a wider gap between how people affect us and how God affects us. And none of that comes overnight. You can't accelerate maturity. I mean, it's not like you can save it up for summer vacation. It's just a daily choice, isn't
it? In fact,
it?
It's almost scary. It's like Proverbs 13 says, wealth gained hastily will dwindle.
Mm.
But I even think about, like, for example, with my first book, you know, for years I'd prayed that I'd be able to write a book. And then when my book, Pharisectomy, ended up becoming an Amazon bestseller, and it really took off. It was kind of a slow takeoff, but it took off huge. I was not ready for the critique. And, you know, when all of my dreams came true, it was actually somewhat of a nightmare because mm-hmm. I wasn't even ready for all of the weight of that. I wasn't ready for people to write, you know, to do mean podcasts or to write, just say mean, cruel things on social media. I wasn't ready for any of that. And I sometimes think, you know, we have these dreams in our heads, but we don't realize that every dream comes with a new set of liabilities,
mm-hmm.
new set of responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
And God sees that, which is why sometimes he's saying, I want to. You don't even know what you're asking for.
Exactly.
With that prayer.
He's a protective, loving father, you know. And we have to take a break here in a moment. But back when I was a young mom and battling Lyme disease, really, really bad. And I was a fitness person going into the sickness. And then I was taking a shower once a week because I was so sick. It took too much energy. But three little boys. And remember, my hubby had to just scoop me up and bring me to the hospital. I was like a dish rag. And so they put a shunt in my arm and got me ready for the IV therapy. And I'm like, when can I run again? When can I, you know? And she said, some people have a will of iron and can take matters into their own hands. You're not anywhere near ready for that, but you will think you are. And the indicator isn't that you're able to do it that one time. She said, the indicator of true health
wow.
is how you recover after. And wow. I feel like that's an indicator of spiritual health, emotional health, relational health, because certain of us will show up in a certain way, but can you show up and then recover and then go at it again?
Come
you
on.
Know what I mean?
So good.
So true. Well, it's the weekly grind.
It is.
Everybody,
yes.
Because it doesn't, opportunity doesn't change your character. It challenges your character.
Mm, so good. I mean, I don't think we've ever had a more tweetable guest, Grace. What do you think? Your ears are smoking over there. Love this, talking to Peter and Carolyn Haas. Hope you're enjoying it, too. I really want to give them the rest of the program, but if you want to email me a question, want to chime in, I see, Karina, you emailed us. We'll get that question up to Pete and Carol in a minute. Susie@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a moment.
tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a fantastic conversation with Pete and Carolyn Haas, pastors of Substance Church here in the Twin Cities, author of the book. Pete wrote the book Broken Escalators, really about not focusing on your promotion, but being promotable. It's that whole internal process, dealing with the self-ambition that makes you get ahead of God, the self-preservation that makes you fall behind, dealing with the internal process. And I want to have you talk about the Goliath myth, I think that's what you call it, in just a moment. But Karina writes, what's the best advice that Pete and Carolyn would have to offer someone who's trying to be content in their current season and yet hold on to the hope that God will bring his dream for them to pass? Carolyn, what do you say?
That's a great, I've actually been meditating a lot on Hebrews chapter 10, 11, and 12 the last month, and just reading it and rereading it. And so I just read, you know, Hebrews 10, 36 says, patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. And I think we all want to do God's will, but patient endurance, I mean, that's a whole sermon in itself, but you look at what is patience, and then you look at what is endurance, and then you put them together, and that's what we need to continue to do God's will. And it's in the context, so just study Hebrews 10, 11, and 12, but it's the context of they were being beaten, everything was taken from them, you know, and yet you considered that with joy when everything you owned was stolen from you, you considered it with joy, just patient endurance. Then it goes on to Hebrews 11, which is all the heroes of faith. And what's so crazy about it is it talks through all the different heroes of faith and how they were tested and how they trusted God. And then it literally says in Hebrews 11:39, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us. And so I think if there's ever that delay or there's ever that pause, it's because only because God has something better and that he's working a bigger picture. So I would meditate on that. And then Hebrews 12 talks about the race that God has set for each of us and to run with endurance, keep your eyes on Jesus. So it's just some good scriptures to meditate. But the other one that I love would be Psalm 16. I remember as a mom with little kids being so overwhelmed with my kids are strong-willed, high energy. We planted the church when they were 3 and 1, and I didn't even know if I could survive. You know, it was just one of those, am I going to make it? And I knew that God had called us to the Twin Cities to plant Substance, but it was just a tough season. And we, as church planters, we didn't have offices. We literally would have 80 people a week into our small little home for dinner and for meetings, and people are stepping over diapers and Cheerios. And I mean, it was just a crazy season. And anytime I'd get overwhelmed with my season, I would just turn to Psalm 16. And it is that God, that you have allotted my inheritance and my portion and my cup, and the boundary lines are drawn for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. And I would just go back and just really meditate on Psalm 16 and go, okay, wait, you called me. This is delightful. This is an inheritance that you've drawn these boundaries out for me. I'm going to trust you. And so I would say just study and meditate Psalm 16, and you'll just be encouraged that God has a delightful plan for you. And Psalm 16:11 says, you will show me the way of life, granting me the joy of your presence. And again, it goes back to that, we talked about it, Psalm 61, of God alone. Our soul finds rest in him. It's joy in his presence. That's the only thing we're guaranteed. We're not guaranteed the life of those around us. We're not guaranteed our health, but we're guaranteed his presence.
Love that. And when you start to put your weight on the word of God and on the promises of God, I feel like your emotions can rest there too.
Yes.
And they won't be so tossed to and fro. Did you want to add to that? Are you ready to talk Goliath?
No, she's a Bible bandit.
Isn't she awesome?
Man, she's like a gunslinger.
I can see, like, Pete's like so attracted to her right now. So cute. Anyway, he's like looking at her going, will you marry me? Oh, wait, you're already
20 years in a couple weeks.
Come on now, that's amazing. Okay, so this is a common myth that folks believe, is that, you know, I'd be happy if that, I'm not promotable, I'm not promoted because that person, because he's standing in my way, she's standing in my way. What say you?
Yeah, people, a lot of times it's a human obstruction that we imagine to be standing in the way of our promotion. But according to the Bible, that's completely false. The Bible says over and over, no one from the east or the west can exalt a man. It's God who exalts. He lifts people up. It says, 1 Samuel 2:9, it talks about it's not by strength that one prevails. There's no human being that can stand in the way of your promotion. We quote, you know, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But we always add on to that, except when it comes to my boss, my spouse, my child, or whatever. We want to make an exception as if human beings can stand in the way. But that belief in and of itself is enough to keep us from experiencing God's promotion, because we falsely are ascribing too much power to human beings in reality, a lot of times the promotion, it's totally different. It's the what's holding us back is totally different. God is actually using people to get our attention. And I'm not saying that every time somebody does something evil or wicked that we just need to accept it as all God, because that's I don't believe that's how God works. But I do believe that a lot of times we over amplify the power of those around us and we minimize the power of God to help us over those individuals. For example, I think about, and a lot of times I in my past, I thought, well, I don't do that. But here's how you know if you do it.
She's laughing over there. Anyway,
you know you're believing the Goliath myth when you're rehearsing other people's failures.
Hmm.
And I used to think I don't struggle with unforgiveness or I don't struggle with the Goliath myth. But you always know you struggle with unforgiveness when you rehearse other people's failures. You know you've forgiven someone when you no longer feel the need to rehearse their failures. And I realized in my life, wow, there's certain people who I like to rehearse that hurt because I try to get a little, you know, gratification from, you know, pity or empathy from people, not realizing that King David, the most promotable person in the Old Testament, he never rehearsed other people's failures. He had a million enemies that he could have spent all of the Psalms writing down names. He could have, I mean, think about it. He had not just Goliath, but Saul, Achish, Doeg, Nabal, Hadadezer, Joab, Ishbosheth, Hanan, Absalom, Shimei, Ahithophel, Sheba, Adonijah, and Abiathar. Every one of those names represented murdered friends, sleepless months. It meant, and yet David was never saying that kind of stuff. He was out there saying, God, you just the psalm that my wife just read, the boundary lines have fallen in pleasant places. God has a timeline for promotion and no human being can stand in the way. And so at some point or another, we're going to stop obsessing over humans. And because all that is just a distraction. I believe the devil wants to distract us from focusing on our own character, which is the real reason why promotion is being delayed. Mm-hmm. Because if we're working on our promotion, it doesn't matter if you're Joseph in jail or if you're David running from a madman. God will work out a way to bring us to that pleasant place that he has. And that's what we should be focusing on, is our relationship with God, which is why David was always obsessing over that rather than Saul.
Such good lessons today. I cannot thank you both enough. This has been such a treasure. Carolyn, as we wrap up, I'm wondering if you pray for that person who's in weary in the waiting, but as they're hearing you, realizing there's actually stuff I can do in this place and with the Lord, business I can do. Would you pray for their heart and pray for them?
Yes. God, we just thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to even spend time together and to meditate on who you are. And I thank you for even tools that you've given us through your word. And just your promises, your character. And I just pray for the person listening right now that is confused, that's hurting, that is just struggling with their current season and just is feeling hopeless.
Hmm.
I just ask right now that you would come into that situation, come into their car, their living room, their office, wherever they're at right now, and that your love would be so tangibly felt and your peace would be so evident. And I just pray for hope, and I just pray that you would strengthen their relationship with you. And I just thank you that our hope is in you. Our strength is in you. You said in your word that your eyes right now are roaming throughout the earth, looking for people right now that you want to strengthen. And so we ask right now, we just open our hearts to you, and we say, God, would you come and strengthen each of us right now? Come and strengthen us with your love, your peace. In your plan, we want your will to be done, not ours, but yours. In Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you both. Loved every minute of this. And I happen to know that we've got lots of listeners who love Jesus but haven't found a church yet. If you live in the Twin Cities here, check out Substance. You will love it. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Coming up, Hour 2, we're talking about rest. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.